Tales from the Dustbin of History. Something decidedly odd has been taking place in the realm of educational theory over the past 5 or 6 decades. Educational wisdom accumulated over the past 3 or 4 millennia is being consigned in what Leon Davidovich Trotsky called the dustbin of history, and replaced by a ragbag of seemingly utopian notions headed in exactly the opposite direction. Of course, not all ancient ideas are necessarily worth keeping. History, for instance, demonstrates the truth of Dr. Samuel Johnson's assertion that small boys absorb knowledge at precisely the rate energy is applied to their backsides. But history also indicates that the benefits are more than offset by the psychological damage the process inflicts. On the other hand, judged by the results, old-fashioned methods of teaching math and reading skills were immeasurably more effective than those employed in most of the nation's schools today. Learning the alphabet and multiplication tables by rote is undeniably a rather boring process, but learning the necessity of applying oneself even to boring tasks is a vitally important life lesson. Acquiring skills of any kind, for work or for play, requires repetitive practice. Putting the learned skills into practice is the interesting part. Children of my generation spent hours in the classroom chanting, once one is two, two twos are four, two threes are six, the rest of it. We also chanted, A is for apple, B is for ball, C is for cat. We spent even more time sounding out combinations of consonants and vowels, and also on mental arithmetic quizzes. But then most of us could read for enjoyment by the age of 7, and some much earlier. Even children with reading disabilities, dyslexia was not commonly diagnosed in those days, could usually read at grade level, if not for enjoyment, by the age of 9 or 10. And thanks to the mental arithmetic quizzes, children as young as 8 were able to serve customers in their parents' shops, while the children of Al Salisbury, the village bookie, could calculate the odds on a horse in split seconds well before they had reached their teens. Contrast that with the shop assistants who cannot add together the prices of a pair of pants, a sweater and a pair of socks without a calculator, and the supermarket cashiers who are unable to tot up a grocery bill if the power goes down. Albert Einstein defined stupidity as repeating the same experiment and expecting different results. On this basis, one might reasonably expect the educational establishment to call a halt to innovation and assess progress to date, and then abandon ideas that have manifestly failed. But not a bit of it. The response is to decades of failure is to double down on it. Indeed, the latest piece of old-fashioned wisdom to be pitched over the educational transom is cursive writing. The educational establishment's contempt for cursive was summed up by an educational journalist who wrote, "Cursive writing is an anachronism. Spending any classroom time on it is comparable to teaching how to use an abacus. It's interesting as a history lesson and probably offers some benefits, but it is not at all practical as a day-to-day skill in the modern connected world." Morgan Polikoff, assistant professor of education at the University of Southern California's Rossier School of Education, researches the design and effects of standards, assessment, and accountability policies. He also believes there's no point in teaching cursive writing. "Cursive should be allowed to die," he says. "In fact, it's already dying despite having been taught for decades. Very small proportions of adults use cursive in their day-to-day writing. Much of our communication is done on a keyboard, and the rest is done in print. Additionally, there is little compelling research to suggest the teaching of cursive positively affects other student skills enough to merit its teaching. While both research and common sense indicate students should be taught some form of penmanship, there's simply no need to teach students both print and cursive." On this basis, Polikoff, who apparently has difficulty distinguishing between decades and centuries, urges educators and policymakers to resist adding more skills to the common core, because doing so undermines the strength of the standards. Actually, Polyakov's statement sheds much light on the sort of strengths and standards embodied in the Common Core. None of it reassuring. Indeed, it indicates that our educators live in a cocoon utterly divorced from the real world. If they bothered to take a glance at the world outside their cocoon, they might have noticed the newspapers, magazines, and books are published in upper and lowercase script, the typesetting equivalent of cursive. And they do so for the very same reason cursive writing came into being in the first place. Cursive writing was developed almost 2 millennia ago for very practical reasons. Cursive script is much easier to read and write than printing individual letters. Cursive makes note-taking far easier, faster than both printing and typing on a laptop keyboard. There are numerous educational advantages to teaching cursive writing. Learning cursive accelerates learning to read. It makes a child more aware of the shape of letters and how words are spelled. According to phonics guru Don Potter, attempts to educate children that neglect the teaching of cursive handwriting is doomed to failure. The little dribble of handwriting done with a typical phonics program is far below optimal, he says. Cursive makes kids smarter. Researchers speculate that it helps the brain to rewire itself and become better at reading. Cursive requires young students to do something precisely, not sloppily, incompletely, and according to personal whim. Penmanship is the perfect path to precision, a valuable concept that enables young people to read faster and think faster. Cursive teaches fine motor skills. Children learn how to create something really complicated with lots of counting required. Video games require the same actions repeated over and over again. Cursive demands both physical and mental dexterity. Learning cursive introduces a child to logos, type design, and graphic design generally. Cursive is valuable in teaching history. When children learn cursive, they can read the Declaration of Independence and many other historical documents, as well as letters from older relatives. Cursive allows for personal expression. A person's signature is nearly as unique as a fingerprint. Nowadays, children learn to print their signatures. Handwriting is very much faster than printing. This was the main reason it was developed. Cursive is the obvious choice for taking notes in the classroom. Notes in the classroom? What next? Spelling? Mental arithmetic? History? Heaven forfend!